All right, we're going. This is the 15th segment on 1 Corinthians, rather. Last time we talked about word of knowledge and word of wisdom, in other words, revelation. And this time we're going to talk more about revelation. So I really encourage you, if at all possible, to just enjoy this whole section of scripture that we get into the manifestations of the Spirit. It's just really terrific. I mean, this is just amazing stuff. This is who we are and stuff we have. This is not some hooky poop or weird stuff. This is stuff we have. These are abilities God's given us in Christ. So, Revelation, I just want to let you know that Revelation is not just about spiritual stuff. It's not about religious stuff. It's whatever God wants to reveal to people. And he's been revealing stuff to people, not only in the church, but outside the church, forever and ever and ever. This is who he is and what he likes to do. God is social. That's why he made everything. He made sentient beings with free will so he could fellowship with them, giving forth and back and forth so he could touch with them. You know, it says in Genesis that he made Adam, and he says it's good for him not to be alone. Same thing's true with God. You know, he didn't want to be alone. That's why he made others, so he could fellowship. So anyways, so God gives revelation to people about all kinds of stuff. And so I'd like to read to you something about on the show Shark Tank. One time I saw someone talk about how they got revelation. They never realized they got revelation, but they did. God talked to them. So a woman by the name of Elizabeth Charm shared that she got a dream that led to her business. So the idea she shared came to me in a dream the night before my oldest daughter's 12th birthday. This was years before. She would receive her first cell phone, so I knew the cell phone had to be part of the surprise. That night, I dreamed that after my daughter blew out the candles, the phone would ring from inside the cake. The next day, I got to work. That was in her dream. You understand? That's the dream she had. Where'd she get that dream? She knew where she got the dream. It's a great idea. So the next day I got to work. I baked a cake. I sealed the phone in a plastic bag and hid it between layers of the vanilla icing, hoping that my surprise would work. Finally, we gathered for everyone's favorite part of the party, the cake. And we sang happy birthday. And just as the cake was to be cut, the cake began to ring. No one could believe their eyes or ears. The gift was revealed and it was a huge hit. Everybody loved it, and I knew I had to find a way to make this gift and cake concept accessible to everyone. But soon I learned that food safety requirements prevented placing non-edible products inside cakes. My son Jordan, who was studying engineering, and I came up with a solution to safely encase the gift inside the cake stand. So together we designed the stand to create an illusion that the gift pops through the cake. Thus, the popping stand was created. I don't know if you got the sheet, but there's a picture of them holding the product that they had made. And you could buy it. It's the popping stand. And so this woman got revelation in a dream. And then she activated it by doing it, and it became a blessing. Then she ran into a little legal snag because she's an attorney and she pays attention to this stuff. Me, I just done it anyway. So catch me if you can. But and so she needed some wisdom on a modified design from her son. And soon she got it from him, and then they had a patent, and now they got a business. So God can talk to you about anything and everything. I mean, he has been doing this since the beginning of time. I think one day he talked to some Italian guy named Christopher Columbus. And he told Christopher, hey, you want to go to all the places that you've been already? Well, how about go somewhere place different? How about to go where the sun is going to go down? Chase of the sun. Go west, young man. Go west. And so that's what he did. That's how he discovered America. This has been going on since the beginning of time. God giving people exciting revelation to do stuff. So who knows how many advances in technology, culture, art, science, business are due to revelation? Who knows? Most are due to a combination of inspiration, revelation, and hard work, like the famous story of Edison's light bulb. Many begin with an idea sparked by the creator of all good things. And notice that God's not a glory hog. You see a sign across the heavens saying, brought to you by Yahweh. No, he's secure in who he is, in that he blesses without a concern about repayment now, because he knows the end of the story. He'll get paid. He'll get glory. He'll get blessed at the end. He knows the end of the story. So let's summarize what we've learned so far about Revelation and about the spiritual stuff. God gives us a spirit and a new birth. We activate it, and God does or does not, depends on the manifestation. He energizes it, depends on the manifestation. And this results in all nine manifestations. Tongues, interpretation of prophecy, or what I call auto-energizing. In other words, we activate and God energizes every time. You see, it's guaranteed. If I move my lips, my tongue, my mouth, I'll speak in tongues. If I, and God will have the words right there for me. If I interpret, same thing. The interpretation will be there. If I prop like John just did, John just prophesied. You know, we can do that automatically. Now, once you get into Revelation, gifts of healing and all this stuff, it's a little bit different. It's not auto-energizing. That gets to be on God's option on it. And we'll talk about that a little bit over time. Sorry, but we're going to go through the manifestation starting with Revelation, Word of Knowledge, Word of Wisdom. Then we'll do healing. Then we're going to do miracles. Then we're going to do faith. And then we're going to do tongues, interpretation, and prophecy. I'm going to sort of do it the way God reveals it in 1 Corinthians 12. Okay? So over time, it'll all the stuff will tie together beautifully, I think. Brothers and sisters, any Christian can get revelation. I'll take you a step further. Every Christian does get revelation. Why? Because they deserve it? Because they've earned it? No, because God wants to share it. We got to disabuse ourselves, which is a fancy way of saying, quit thinking this way, that we got to earn revelation or any of this stuff. We don't deserve anything, you know? But God wants to talk. God wants to share. But most people miss it because they just don't believe it's God talking to them. They think it's their own mind or their own body or something like that. Or they just ignore it. And God designed revelation to be an integral part of our Christian life. Most of the time, we operate in this life by regular knowledge and wisdom, but occasionally we also get revelation, most of which is not earth-shattering, but still a blessing to us and others as we carry it out. You'll wake up in the morning and have an idea what you ought to do for the day. Guess where that idea could very well come from? The boss. You're driving down the highway. You get an idea to get off at this exit. Maybe that's the boss. Tell him to get off the exit. I mean, there's just so many times God's talking to us, and God's not, you know, brought to you by God. Hey, give me a little thanks and praise, or you're not going to get any more. That's not the way God is. God's love. He gives. He blesses. He has no greater joy than to be blessed. I'll tell you who was the most blessed person on this trip. It was Dom and Carol. Because they got to be love and bless the people that they love more than anybody in the world. And just, and with Dom, did you all the time saying, hey, you like this? Grandpa did it for you, huh? Grandpa and Grandma. No, he's just, his greatest blessing is like it says in 3 John 2, 3 John, I have no greater joy than to see my kids walk in truth. No greater joy than to see the kids get blessed. You know, and that's the greatest joy we have. We'd rather see our kids and grandkids blessed than us. And God's the same way. We are blessed not because of us, but because of him. Because he's so loving and kind and good. We were nothing but a twinkle in his eye. And he wants to bless us. So, let him! Let's just let him. Okay. Let's discuss another aspect about Revelation. Scripture is good for describing general conditions such as God wants us healed. Okay, like Psalm 103, 2 and 3. Bless Yahweh, O my soul, and do not forget all his benefits. The one who forgives your every iniquity, the one who heals all your sicknesses. Message of knowledge and message of wisdom are tailored for, are not tailored for the general, but for the specific. meaning specific revelation for a specific person at a specific time in a specific situation. All of us have the ability to heal because of the manifestation of gifts and healing, right? So let's march down to the hospital. Dom, you go to Overlake. John and Joe, you go to Evergreen. Sharon, you go to Tacoma General. Michelle, you go on down to Valley, and I'll go to Swedish. Let's go down to the hospital and empty it out, heal everybody, and throw them all out. Okay, all right. Hi, Don. Are we going to do that? No. Why not? Because we need specific revelation about specific people at a specific time and place. Just because the Bible says that we're healed and we can heal doesn't mean we will heal. We need revelation to do this stuff. Are we in agreement with that? Yeah, okay. So it's just not, you can't, if you want to go to the hospital, give it a shot without revelation. So, that's it. So God made us with free will. He won't heal someone against their will. This may sound stupid, but I've met those who are tired of living and want to die, and also some who benefit from their infirmities and want to retain their status and benefits. There's that old joke about Jesus going into a bar. Y'all ever hear that joke? When he goes and trying to minister healing to people and stuff, and the last guy says, don't minister healing to me. I'm on disability. I want to keep the checks coming. There's some people that are like that. That God, they want to be messed up and stuff. And some folks just don't believe God. And if for God to heal them, he'd have to change the laws of the universe to heal those that don't want it or don't believe it. In those situations, it's easy to understand why God's energizing is silent. You understand? Jesus is like a gentleman. He opens the door for us, but he never shoves us through. There are things, though, that we can do to encourage God's energizing, and we'll discuss those things later as far as healing and miracles and all this kinds of stuff. But it's not automatic. Okay? We need revelation for some of this stuff. Now, how do we start to receive revelation? Let's learn from Samuel's example. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, it says, now there was a certain man of Ramathaim and Zophim of the hill country of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jerome. And he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the second was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. Now this man would go up out of the city year after year to worship and to sacrifice to Yahweh of armies at Shiloh. The two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas. All right, when I say Hophni and Phinehas, y'all do this. They had the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas. Priests of Yahweh, they were there. And Hannah got up after eating in Shiloh and after drinking. Now Eli, the priest, that's what they used to do. Part of worship was they'd eat, drink with everybody. Now Eli, the priest, was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the temple of Yahweh, to be tabernacle of Yahweh. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to Yahweh as she wept. Yes, wept. And she vowed a vow. Why is she weeping? Why is she all sad? Because she's one of two wives. The other one's got a bunch of kids and she's got nothing. So she wants a baby, and she wants a baby bad. And so she vows a vow and says, O Yahweh of armies, if you will, yes, see the affliction of your servant and will remember me and not forget your servant, but will give to your servant a male child, then I will give him to Yahweh all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. Hannah promised the Lord that if he gave her a son, that she would raise him as a Nazarite. And you can look at it in number 6, what that meant. In other words, she was committing their son, Elkanah and Hannah's son, Samuel, in the future, to a full-time tabernacle service. In other words, she was going to bring him, give him to the tabernacle to Eli and stuff. And he was going to be a Nazarite and never cut his hair and stuff, have dreads, whatever. Did you ever see the movie about David? He showed a picture of Samuel with all kinds of long hair. It's really well, beautifully done. Anyways, 1 Samuel 1, 12 through 16 says, and it came to pass, as she continued a long time praying to Yahweh, that Eli watched her, was watching her mouth. And now Hannah spoke in her heart. Only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought she was drunk. Here she is crying and very emotional. And she, like that. And Eli thinks she's drunk. The high priest. Nice. So Eli says to her, how long will you make yourself drunk? Put away wine from you. But Hannah answered, no, my lord. I am a woman oppressed in spirit. I have drunk neither beer nor wine, been pouring out my heart before Yahweh. Do not think of your servant as a daughter of Belial, in other words, an evil person, for I have been speaking out of the abundance of my concern and my being provoked. So this is the opposite of genuine revelation, okay? Eli gets senses information, looking like, indicating like Hannah's troubled and assumes that she's drunk. Wow, this is not good. Instead of asking God to confirm the information his eyes are providing him, or asking her what's going on with her, Eli assumes the worst and accuses her of sin. Why is Eli so spiritually dull? Well, we'll see. It's going to come up. But he is definitely very dull. Unbelief, serious unbelief. 1 Samuel 1, 17 and 18 says, then Eli answered and said, all right, sorry, Hannah, go in peace. And may the Lord God of Israel grant your request that you have requested of him. And she said, may your servant find favor in your eyes. So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Why was Hannah no longer sad? Because she trusted Eli's blessing pronounced on her. Pretty interesting. So then they rose up early and worshiped before Yahweh and returned and came to their house in Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and Yahweh remembered her. That's a euphemism for being intimate. And so in the course of time, Hannah conceived and bore a son. And she named him Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of Yahweh. And she brought the child to Eli. And she said, oh, my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood by you here, praying to Yahweh. I prayed for this child, and Yahweh has granted me my request that I requested from him. So I also now lend him to Yahweh. As long as he lives, he'll be lent to Yahweh, and he worshiped Yahweh there. And Elkanah went to Ramah to his house, and the child served Yahweh in the presence of Eli the priest. So they brought Samuel, when he's a young guy, to Eli, and Eli took him in to be a priest, to be a temple or tabernacle servant, to live there and help out and to go into a basic apprenticeship to become a man of God. Now, the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. He did not know Yahweh. Okay. Sons of Belial means they were born of Satan's seed. These are evil people. These are people who are against God. And where it says they did not know Yahweh, that's a figure of speech like saying Einstein was not stupid. It's an understatement, you know. Technically, it's called tapiosis. And so it's an understatement. It says they didn't know God. Yeah, well, that's an understatement. These guys were evil, these guys. And so, but Samuel served in the presence of Yahweh, being a child clothed with a linen ephod. Now, Eli was very old, and he heard all that his sons were doing to all Israel and how they were lying with the women who served at the entrance of the tent of meeting. All right, did you just read that?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not good, is it? And it was known to everybody what was going on. And who's tolerating this? Eli. Now the child Samuel continued to grow in stature and in favor both with Yahweh and also with the people. He's not getting corrupted like the two sons of Eli are. He's growing up in the Lord. And a man of God came to Eli and said to him, this is what Yahweh says. Did I not reveal myself to your house of your father when they came, were in Egypt in slavery to Pharaoh's house? Who is technically Eli's father? Aaron. Aaron was the, it was Aaron and his house would become the priests and the chief priests of the of Israel. And so that's who he's talking about. So why do you kick at my sacrifices and at my offerings that I have commanded for my dwelling? And you honor your sons above me, making yourselves fat with the best of the offerings of Israel, my people. Therefore, Yahweh, the God of Israel, says, I had said, yes, said, that your house and the house of your father should walk before me forever. But now, Yahweh says, be it far from me, for those who honor me, I will honor, and those who treat me with contempt will be lightly esteemed. It's another, understatement, lightly esteemed. The man of yours, whom I do not cut off from my altar, will be spared to weep out his eyes and grieve his soul, but all the greater parts of your house will die. And this will be a sign to you that will come out on your two sons, on Hophni and Phinehas. Remember? Right. In one day, they both will die. And I will raise up for myself a faithful priest who will do according to whatever is in my heart and in my soul, and I will build him a sure house, and he will walk in the presence of my anointed ones all the days to come. This was not a pat on the back, but this was a punch in the gut, all the way to the spinal cord. You know what I'm talking about? Revelation is revelation. Sometimes it's good, and sometimes it's just awful, but it's just true. And this is brutal. Sometimes we need a word of comfort or encouragement, but sometimes we need a cup of cold water in the face to spiritually wake up. This man of God was giving Eli a fire hose burst of ice water right in the face. Wake up, turkey. Wake up. 1 Samuel 3. The child Samuel was serving Yahweh in the presence of Eli, and the word of Yahweh was rare in those days. Visions were not frequent. Why do you think that's the case? Because the whole atmosphere is lousy. You know, because the leadership is leading, but in away from God, not towards God. To some extent, they're peeing in a pool. You know, let's call it what it is. I mean, these guys are, you know, you want to bring your wife to temple? These knuckleheads might try to steal it from you. These guys are nuts. You know, and then people are putting up, and Eli's putting up with this crap. It's hard when it's your kids, but nonetheless, you know, just what God said. You know, honor your sons over me, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the guy who's going to judge the living and the dead. His smart move is you better obey God. Do what God says. Even though it's your kids, you know, you better take a stand. You're the high priest. Act like it. So anyways, so visions were not frequent, obviously, because the man of God is letting the devil in hard. And it happened at the time when Eli was lying down in his place. His eyes had begun to grow dim so that he was not able to see well. And the lamp of God had not gone out. And Samuel had laid down in the temple of Yahweh where the ark of God was. Then Yahweh called Samuel and he said, here I am. Then he ran to Eli and he said, here I am, for you called me. But Eli said, I did not call thee. Go lie down again. So he went and lay down. Notice that Yahweh, God, called Samuel. But Samuel thought it was Eli who called. So why did God choose to speak to Samuel similarly to how Eli would, because he thought it was Eli? Perhaps because Eli was the authority in his life and God needed the respect that commanded. In other words, God didn't create a cartoon voice or something arbitrary. He did an authoritative voice. I'm just letting you know that God tailors revelation to the individual and the circumstance and the situation. He didn't do,
but that's all, folks.
You know, a cartoon voice or something like that, you know. He did, Samuel, Samuel, like Eli would talk, you know, an authoritative high priest kind of voice. And so then Samuel gets up, goes on. What do you want, boss? And I didn't call you. Go back. 1 Samuel 3:6-7 says, and Eli called yet again, Samuel. So Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. But he answered, I did not call, my son. Lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know Yahweh, nor was the word of Yahweh yet revealed to him. This is the first time Samuel's getting revelation from God. And it confuses him. Now, does God say, what a moron? And then forget him? No, of course not. Psalm 103:13-14 is just a verse that we have to have just so tight to our heart. Like as a father has compassion on his children, so Yahweh has compassion on those who fear him. For he himself knows our makeup. He remembers that we are dust. He knows us because he made us. We're dusty, musty, and rusty. We need help, and thank God he's willing to give it. God never quit on Samuel. God, Yahweh, helped him. And Yahweh called Samuel the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. Then Eli perceived that Yahweh was calling the child. It took three times for Eli to realize God was working. God was not Eli's first thought, second thought, but his third thought. He was out of practice with God. No revelation. No, God is not first thought. God's not second thought. He's third thought at that time. At least his third thought. That's better than no thought. But the guy's high priest. So we're not in a good situation. So the devil's getting in first and second. But God, at least God's, on the winning, get first place, second place, third place on the winning, podium. At least God's in third place. Better than no place. So, but anyways, it gives you an idea of what's going on spiritually. For here I am because you called me. And so he arose did we read this? So Eli said to Samuel, go lie down. If he calls you, you are to say, speak, O Yahweh, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Brothers and sisters, listen. When learning to walk by the Spirit, it helps to have an elder help us, just like Paul did for the Corinthians and Jesus did for the disciples. Even an imperfect mentor like Eli is preferable to nobody. We should all find someone who's more experienced in spiritual things and work together to begin or grow in our operation of the manifestations and have a little bit of accountability as we walk forward with revelation, tongues, whatever the heck it might be. But we need someone to help us to move forward. It really helps to have that going. And just like Eli helped Samuel, we can have someone help us. So anyways, and Yahweh came and stood there and called another time, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. And Yahweh said to Samuel, behold, I'm about to do a thing in Israel at which everyone who hears it, their two ears will tingle. In that day, I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. For I have told him that I am judging his house forever because of the iniquity that he knew, because his sons were cursing God and he did not restrain them. Therefore, I have sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house will not be atoned for with sacrifices or offerings forever. Yowza. Now, some of us are saying, I don't want to get any revelation like that. Ever. And I'm sure Samuel felt the same way. But Samuel was called to be a prophet, and that ministry gets all kinds of revelation. If you're a prophet, you get the good, the bad, and the ugly, because that's their job. They handle the dirty cleanups, not the little simple clean up the broken pickle jar on aisle 3 cleanups, but the toxic moon suit nuclear cleanups, the kind like two priests of God lying with the women who served at the tent of meeting, who were also sons of Belial cleanup. So everybody wants to be prophet. Yeah. That's some nasty stuff you got to deal with, man. You know, you got to deal with some tough stuff. What an evil mess. But God said, get on it. And if you ain't going to get on it, I'll get on it. 1 Samuel 3:15 through 18 says, and Samuel lay until the morning and opened the doors of the house of Yahweh. And Samuel was afraid to tell Eli the vision. What do you think Samuel's at this time? 10 years old? He's probably like 10 years old. He just gets this kind of revelation. He's just shaking in his boots in the bed, man. That's some intense stuff. Maybe he's 12. I don't know. He's a young guy. And Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he said, here am I. And he said, what is the word that he, Yahweh, spoken to you? Do not hide it from me. God do the same to you, and even more, if you hide from me any word of the words that he spoke unto you. So Samuel told him all the words and hid nothing from him. And he, Eli, said, he is Yahweh. He will do whatever is good in his eyes. He knew how it worked. Down deep, when he quit messing around, he knew exactly how it worked, who God was. Eli confirmed Samuel's revelation. Eli had also chosen not to correct his son's horrendous sins, even though they had become irredeemably evil and were poisoning the spiritual life of Israel. God wanted the cancer that they had become to be cut off, to be surgically removed from the Israel. That's what you do with cancer. You either cut it off and kill it, or it kills you. That's how cancer works. Yet instead of confronting the evil, Eli turned a blind eye to him. Well, God didn't. That's for sure. This is how God works in a situation like this. I'm confident that God first confronted the sons, Hophni and Phinehas. He confronted them directly, and it didn't get anywhere with them early on, before they got so crazy. Then God told Eli directly, who confronted his sons, but he didn't fire them, allowing the continued evil practices. Then God sends a man of God to torch Eli about the situation. Remember that? We read that about that. Again, no repentance from Eli or his sons. Then God uses this situation to teach Samuel about revelation and kickstart his prophetic ministry. Eli's lukewarm response to Samuel demonstrated that the scorching message that electrified Samuel was just a repeat of what Eli had heard directly from God, and next from the man of God, and thirdly came from Samuel. God doesn't usually tell someone to tell you something. God doesn't usually tell you, God usually tells you directly first. And if you're listening and repent, then that's the end of the story. But if you don't listen or respond to the correction, you'll be hearing from heaven in another way. Eli got it both barrels. Why? Because if Eli would have repented and did what God wanted, which was fire his sons, and, you know, fire them for their idolatry. You know, fire by meaning burn them for their idolatry. So that's intense. These guys were evil. Pure evil. They're sons of Belial. They're George Soros. You understand? Just irredeemably dirtbags. They're like, who's this idiot that they're going after? The Department of Justice is going after. He used to run the FBI. What's that guy? No, not Comey. The other idiot.
Brennan,
yeah, just a pile of crap. Just garbage. Yeah. Spiritual evil garbage. Okay. But I know Brennan is just messed up. But those are guys that you're not gonna change their mind. They're born of Satan's seed. They just are. And so you're not gonna go anywhere. So the only thing that's good for them is just get rid of them. It's like cancer. You cut it out of the body or it will kill you.
Well, I don't like that. You know, I have a feeling
it's cancer. You either kill it or it kills you. Everybody's got to make up their mind. This was God was telling Eli to do. It's my sons. It can kill you. Kill the whole nation. So God said, it ain't going to happen. I'll get rid of them. And of course, we know how this whole thing worked out later on. You can read about it in 1 Samuel. But anyways, look, God wants all people blessed and protected as much as possible. The extent of that blessing and protection depends on them and their response to God. Eli was stiff-arming God. And we'll discuss the irredeemable nature of the son's sins when we handle discerning spirits later on. When we talk about that later. Anyways, 1 Samuel 3, 19 through 21. And Samuel grew, and Yahweh was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established as the prophet of Yahweh. And Yahweh continued to appear in Shiloh, for Yahweh revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of Yahweh. Let's note a few things that we learned from Samuel's revelation school, okay, that we just read about. Samuel grew physically and spiritually. In other words, no one comes from the factory spiritually ready to go. Samuel's one of the great prophets in the Old Testament. He had to learn about revelation, okay? There are always going to be growing pains as we learn. There's always some, here I am for you, called me, type confusion. It's just, we have to learn God's voice, and it takes us a while to learn God's voice. Nobody comes from the factory just walking with God. You know, even some of the greatest of all time, they had a learning curve that they had to do. And they had to learn God's voice and how God works and all that kind of stuff. All of us are individually are like that too. We get to learn. Moses was in Acts 7, 22 through 25. And you might see one of the greatest prophets of all time. Here's Moses, and watch him. This is fantastic. And Moses was instructed in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and he was mighty in words and deeds. And when he was full 40 years old, it came to his heart to visit his brothers, the sons of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him who was oppressed, smiting the Egyptian. He kills the Egyptian. And he assumed that his brothers understood that God was giving them deliverance by his hand, but they did not understand. So what happened is God told Moses, around the time he was 40 years old, okay, that he would be delivering Israel from Egyptian slavery. All right, let's see if we just lock that in. God let Moses know, that's what it says up here. Look in verse 25. He assumed that his brothers understood that God was giving them deliverance by his hand. Why did he know this? Because God showed him, you're the one that's going to deliver Israel. Okay, so he got that revelation. And he assumed the fellow Israelites knew that too. Bad assumption. Moses had got a message of knowledge regarding what God had called him to do. Instead of also getting a message of wisdom on how to accomplish the revelation, he decided to start a one-man revolution against Egypt. Brothers and sisters, without message of wisdom, trust, and God's help, one person versus a nation is not going to work. So Moses took a 40-year detour to the wilderness from the original revelation. The lesson is, once you get knowledge from God, ask him for wisdom and carrying it out. Don't assume it's up to you. There's a learning curve involved in revelation. God told me something once about the future, and it fried my mind so much that I went and got drunk. And did stupid stuff after that. You know who else did stuff like that? That'd be Noah. That's Lot. That's how they dealt with their PTSD. They went and got drunk. And what happened? Not good stuff. Same thing happened with me. That's not how you handle stress and freaking out and bad news and all this kind of stuff. Years ago, God told me I was going to get fired when I was a minister, you know, and so it fried my mind. Is that God's fault? No, it's my fault because I responded incorrectly to the revelation. Instead of asking for more word of wisdom, I'd say, oh, Steve, what am I going to do? Oh, my baby. 30, 40 years later, I can look back and laugh about it now. Except it was pathetic and ugly and stuff, and hopefully y'all can learn. But Moses did the same thing. He goes, let's go! Let's revolution! And the other Israelites are going, what's he talking about? What's he doing? And then Moses said, instead of revolution, he headed for the hills and went to Midian, met Jethro, and married Zipporah. Started raising a family out in the sticks until he went from the bush leagues to the burning bush leagues to the big leagues and stuff. Hey, did you know that Jesus healed five different blind men five different ways? In Matthew 9, Jesus touched blind men's eyes and healed them. In Matthew 12, blind and dumb man had a devil, and Jesus cast it out, and then the guy could see. In Mark 8, Jesus took a blind man out of town. He spit on his eyes and laid hands on him, and his sight was partially restored. And then he said, remember that? I see men as trees walking. And they talked, and then Jesus laid hands on him again and then completed the healing after two times ministering to him. In Luke 18, Jesus healed a blind man with words, just speaking him, and he healed him with his words. And in John 9, Jesus spit, made mud, and put the mud on a blind man's eyes and asked him to wash in the pool of Siloam, and then he came seeing. Five different blind people healed five different ways. So if this is the gospel of Steve, once I healed the first blind guy after touching him, I don't want to repeat the procedure again, because supposedly nothing succeeds like success. Some of us think, like me, I do, that once you're successful at something, repeat whatever you did to be successful and you'll get the same results. Right? Yeah. That's right in the senses realm, except it's not true when it comes to revelation and walking with God. What succeeds is listening to God. Why did Jesus change his healing method each time, the next four times? The only answer that makes sense is because the revelation changed. Why? Because each person is different and each situation is different. If I assume, A-S-S-U-M-E, if I assume that because I was successful previously, that I'll be successful again, if I repeat the formula, I'm missing the whole point of revelation and manifestation. I'm trying to repeat a formula, not trust God. Bingo. Those who look for a formula to walk by the Spirit rarely walk by the Spirit. They only walk by formulas, trying to repeat past success, theirs or someone else's. God wants us to trust Him, not a formula, not a checklist. Each day, each person, each situation is different. How can we know what to do? We can't. Only God does, and He can tell us if we're listening, not assuming. One person needs a touch. The next one needs spiritual cleaning. The next one needs to get away from the crowd and pressure and get healed in two steps. The next one just needs to hear God's word spoken to him right there. And the next one needs a spit, a mud mask, and a face wash. What's the common thread? God's guidance. Jesus' openness to fresh wisdom from God every day and the results healing. The common thread is God's there giving us guidance, us being open to fresh wisdom, message of wisdom from God every day in every situation, and the results that'll bring us forth to healing in those situations. Learning to walk by the Spirit takes time. Abraham's original revelation about the promised seed was 25 to 30 years before the first part of the fulfillment, Isaac. Joseph's revelation about his family bowing down to him came to pass about 20 years later. And to say the least, there were some detours, like kidnapping, slavery, and prison. It takes time to learn the revelation ropes. There are trials and errors. The keys are focus and not giving up. The keys are focus on God and learning, asking God and having God teach you, and not giving up. You're going to, as the great British philosopher Sir Paul McCartney said, long and winding road. It takes a while to learn. Not because God's unable to talk, but because we're just confused knucklehead flesh heads. It takes us a while to learn to listen to God's voice and go with it and understand what he's talking about and do it. So the keys are focus and not giving up. Just as the man learning to ride the bike with the straightened, crooked handlebars ultimately was successful after a few falls, we will be too. Staying close to God and spiritually aware like Samuel was is also important. This compresses the learning time. And remember, Yahweh was with him. He's with us also to help us and guide us. And Yahweh revealed himself to Samuel. Look, if we only get one revelation in a lifetime, That's one more than everyone else combined. It's God's option to give us information. You know, the silly idea that we can force God's hand is just dumb. All spiritual knowledge comes by grace. We are thankful for a loving God who gave us a gift, the Spirit, so that he can talk with us and us with him. What a wonderful, wonderful, wild, woolly adventure God has called us to.